to grant me. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me paradise, paradise.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this series Hasten Towards Paradise in the Beautiful Month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, as we have been on this journey together, mashallah, with you, with our viewers out there supporting us in our endeavors, let's inshallah azza wa jal continue with the spirit. And today's topic being about the continuation of virtuous deeds. Yes, we have alhamdulillah been consistent and steadfast in the month of Ramadan, but the challenge now is how we can continue with the same spirit, inshallah azza wa jal, throughout the rest of the year. And that requires some steadfastness, some consistency in our day-to-day life. Inshallah, before we dive deep into today's episode and program, let's remember to extol the virtues of reciting salat and salam in the court of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and recite abundance of durood. And for that, I would humbly request our guest for today, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, to extol the virtues of reciting Salat and Salam in the court of beloved Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings, beautify your gatherings by reciting Salawat upon me, for indeed your recitation of Salawat upon me will be nur for you on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, as we have commenced our episode and program with the recitation of durood and salam in the court of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's not forget our segment for today. And by doing that, we are increasing our knowledge of Islam, knowledge of Quran at the same time. And today's question is about how many surahs in the Holy Quran begin with the word Qul. I will repeat the question again. How many surahs in the Holy Quran begin with the word Qul? And you have four options to choose from. Option A, three surahs. Option B, four surahs. Option C, five surahs. And option D, six surahs. And one of them is the correct answer. Inshallah, don't worry if you get it wrong, because the correct answer will be revealed to you on your screen towards the end of today's episode and program. So I humbly urge you to stay tuned with Madani channel right to the end of today's episode and program, and still continue to watch other shows and other programs on your Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, and now we'll have the opportunity to engage in the Zikr Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I hope that you too will join us inshallah, as alhamdulillah we are today joined by His Eminence Maulana Tabriz Nuri Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. Jazakallah Sayyidi for having blessed us, mashallah. And together in the company of the ulama ikram and you, our viewers, we shall engage in the recitation of Naat-e Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wo kamale husne huzur hai ke gumane naqs jahan nahi. Wo kamale husne huzur hai ke gumane naqs jahan. Yehi shamma hai ke dhua nahi, balagh al-ulu دجا بجمالہ حسن جمیع خصالہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ میں نثار تیرے کلام پر ملیوں تو کس کو زبان نہیں میں نثار تیرے کلام پر ملیوں تو کس کو زبان نہیں وہ سخن ہے جس میں سخن نہ ہو وہ بیان ہے جس کا بیان نہیں صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا
بخدا خدا کا یہی ہے در نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر بخدا خدا کا یہی ہے در نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر جو وہاں سے ہو یہی آ کے ہو جو یہاں نہیں تو وہاں نہیں بلغ
العلیٰ بکمالہ کشف دجا بجمالہ حسن جمیع خصالہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ تیرے آگے یوں ہے دبے لچے فصحا عرب کے بڑے بڑے ہاں تیرے آگے یوں ہے دبے لچے فصحا عرب کے بڑے بڑے کوئی جان مومن زبان نہیں کوئی جان مومن زبان نہیں ارے نہیں بل کے جسم میں جان ہی صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ
سر عرش پر ہے تیری گزر دل فرش پر ہے تیری نظر سر عرش پر ہے تیری گزر دل فرش پر ہے تیری نظر ملکو تو ملک میں کوئی شے نہیں وہ جو تجھ پہ آیا نہیں صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ وہی لامکان
سر عرش تخت نشین ہوئے وہی لا مکہ کے مکی ہوئے سر عرش تخت نشین ہوئے وہ نبی ہے جس کے ہیں یہ مقام ہاں وہ نبی ہے جس کے وہ نبی ہے جس کے ہیں یہ مقام وہ خدا ہے جس کا مقام نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ
کرو تیرے نام پہ جا فدا نب سے ایک جان دو جہاں فدا کرو تیرے نام پہ جان فدا نب سے ایک جان دو جہاں فدا دو جہاں سے بھی نہیں جی بھرا دو جہاں سے بھی نہیں جی بھرا کروں کیا کروڑوں جہاں نہیں
صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ کروں مدح اہلِ دول رضا پڑھ اس بلا میں میری بلا کروں مدح اہلِ دول رضا پڑھ اس بلا میں میری بلا میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا میرا دین پارا عنا نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ
صلو علی الحبیب
صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہی اجمعین اسلام جزاک اللہ سیدی for having chosen such a beautiful kalam mashallah and after reciting نعتِ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in the melodious voice of our Mawlana Sahib inshallah azza wa jal and that too the kalam of سیدی اعلی حضرت امام الکلام and kalam الامام subhanallah reverting back to our topic of discussion now and that is continuation of virtuous deeds and it would definitely require some level of steadfastness some form of consistency inshallah azza wa jal to continue with the virtues that we got accustomed to in the month of ramadan inshallah azza wa jal as this is our training session in the month of ramadan we boost our spirituality we boost our the number of times we read nawafil the number of times we recite quran the number of times we make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is heightened and more increased than any other month so let's continue with the same spirit inshallah azza wa jal going forward after the month of ramadan as well as we are heading towards the last days of ramadan al mubarak and in this regard Allah azza wa jal has beautifully stated in the glorious quran ان الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكه الا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وابشروا بالجنه التي كنتم توعدون. Indeed, those who said Allah is our Lord, then remain steadfast in it. The angels descend upon them saying, do not fear and do not grieve and be happy about paradise which you used to be promised. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, this is the barakah of being steadfast in our faith. And likewise, the barakah we'll see inshallah if we are steadfast in our actions as well. The fara'id, the nawafil, the wajibat, and so on and so forth. We have learned that the commandment of steadfastness has been given in the glorious Quran. Similarly, it is of great excellence, and it will inshallah bring support and help from angels, good news of paradise, hospitality, and abundance of favors from Allah Almighty. What happens in the month of Ramadan? That oftentimes this excitement we have to perform ibadat, feeling emotions temporarily, people start offering nawafil, reciting the Holy Quran and Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making zikr, reading Quran, delivering dars, studying Islamic books, etc. But only after a few days of Ramadan, when this month of Ramadan departs, our enthusiasm fades and good deeds are given up. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan or during a pious ijtima or at the time of becoming a murid or disciple of His Eminence Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul'aliya, as he enters you in the silsila of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahimahullah ta'ala, we make a firm intention to give up sins, and for a few days we manage to protect ourselves from sins, but we get into our old habits of sins after only a few days. So yes, this is seen time and time again. We see this enthusiasm in the month of Ramadan and then we give it up. We see this enthusiasm building up in the night of Bara'ah, then we give it up. We see this enthusiasm in different other occasions where we devote ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Ashura. So why can't we continue with the same spirit? And the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, it provides us enough duration for us to get accustomed to the habit of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. Sayyidi, these are alhamdulillah the opportunities that we have had in the month of Ramadan where we can bank on it. You know, a wise person is he who, when afforded the opportunity, when afforded the tawfiq, he grabs it with both hands and runs with it. Subhanallah. So as we have been given the month of Ramadan as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this guest has arrived, it has blessed us, we have gotten accustomed to performing many virtuous deeds. How can we now continue from this onwards, inshallah?
Subhanallah. Ma sahib, we see in the beautiful month of Ramadan that from the time Ramadan starts towards the end of Ramadan, we find the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find fellow Muslims being constant in their deeds, being constant in good deeds. For example, every Muslim out there has this passion, has this yearning to complete one Quran. If we look at throughout the 11 months, not many have that yearning. But the month of Ramadan is such that it prepares you and makes you a person who is steadfast. Meaning Ramadan will train you to have istiqamah. Ramadan will train you to be steadfast on doing virtuous actions. And then we see when the month of Ramadan leaves us, we are back to square one.
Also at the same time, Sayyidi, that the virtues that we earn, like say for example this world, the currency of the world is the currency, the actual currency that we use, right? Yes. But the currency of the hereafter is the reward that we receive. So with the same token, let's say if there is a month in which the business is booming, this is a month where for 1-2 months the business is at its peak, and all the businessmen, they start making preps, buying stocks, filling their shops, their stores, and then when the time comes, the prime time comes, when the festive season comes, they go all out. cashing it all up. But at the same time, they don't have this thinking in their mind that after this is over, I want my business to go down.
100% Muna Sahib.
He wants, every businessman wants to keep that momentum going even after the festive season is over. When the peak season is over, when he has gained a lot of profit, but he still wants to bank on that profit and those practices that earned him all those, you know, extra profits, and he will continue with that strategy. So with the same token, why can't we now, in the month of Ramadan, we were given the opportunity to reap the rewards with both hands. Why can't we now continue with the same spirit and passion, inshallah, even after the month of Ramadan, and continuing to earn more and more reward?
It actually, it boils down to falling prey to the whispers and tricks of shaitan. That's what it boils down to, because in the month of Ramadan, shaitan is chained up, and people, Muslims out there, they have this passion, they have the zeal to continue performing good deeds. You know, they feel it, and they want to do more and more and more and more and more. But when Ramadan finishes, shaitan is released. Now, very quickly, some fall prey to shaitan's whispers and his tricks. And to avoid that, we have to understand that what is steadfastness? What is the meaning of steadfastness? How do we gain steadfastness, etc.? And one of the fundamental key is to have a mindset, to have a very strong mindset, because your mind is the most powerful tool that you can have. Either it controls you or you control it. So if a person has a strong mindset that I am going to do good deeds and I'm going to refrain from sins, if he has this mindset, and also the kalima sharif that the person recites, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, this alone should give him such a strong determination that whatever deeds he does, he will do it to please Allah Azza wa Jal, and he wouldn't do anything in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if a person has this kind of mindset, automatically he will start having the steadfastness in him. Yes, at times a person will fall. It's not like it'll be the same throughout the way. No, effort is required. Every time a person tries, puts in that effort, goes the extra mile, and then suddenly he falls, he should not give up at that point. Because now that's the point where shaitan comes and puts the person more down. That's the point where the person needs to get up again and start making more effort. Each time the person falls, he should continue making effort by effort by effort. And inshallah, one day he will reach such a position that he will have istiqamah. He will have steadfastness, inshallah.
Sayyidi, you have mentioned that shaitan, you know, is released after the month of Ramadan. Why do some of us behave in a manner that, as if we are released after the month of Ramadan, as if we were chained after the month of Ramadan, you know, and we go back to our old ways?
This comes through our nafs, Ma Sahib, you know, our habits. They say all habits die hard. So it comes down to our habits. Like even during the month of Ramadan, there are some Muslims out there who even commit sins during the month of Ramadan. Who do they blame? They cannot blame shaitan. Shaitan is chained. There is no one to blame other than themselves, because it's their own doing. It's their own nafs. It's them obeying and listening to their nafs. And this is what happens, you know, during the month of Ramadan, even out of Ramadan as well. And out of Ramadan, it is even more, because now you have your nafs on one side, and on the other side, you have shaitan as well.
Double trouble.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, dear viewers, after the advent of the month of Ramadan, we end up drowning in the sea of sins from head to toe once again. And a question arises as to what the matter of gaining steadfastness could be. As we know, the steadfastness is the key to win over this situation, to overcome this situation where we are not trapped by shaitan once again? An easy answer to this question is that there are certain deeds that are equally useful to gain steadfastness in our iman, in our pious deed, those actions that are fard in refraining from sins, etc. And in this episode and program, inshallah azza wa jal, we will discuss those deeds that will help us along the way. Among the things that are useful to gain steadfastness, the first one is to develop the mindset of performing good deeds and refraining from sins. What is this mindset that we are speaking of? It is our willpower. If you have a strong will, you can even move a mountain. A person is moved by one's will. How strong is your willpower to oppose shaitan, to oppose the nafs? And to the degree of the strength of your willpower, you will inshallah gain steadfastness. As simple as that. And we get to exercise this willpower in the month of Ramadan. You are fasting, you are hungry, you are on a short fuse, somebody is making you angry. Your willpower is being exercised for you to not lose your cool and still be calm and considerate, because you don't want to throw cold water over your days of ibadat just by lashing out on somebody overcome by your anger. So yes, your willpower is being exercised in the month of Ramadan, and we need to now cash it in even after the month of Ramadan, inshallah azza wa jal. We shouldn't now forget about it. Okay, month of Ramadan is over, I don't need to worry about anything, right? I can continue sinning as I used to, ma'azallah. This shouldn't be the mindset. So yes, what we have learned, what we have gathered from the month of Ramadan, we take it as a treasure and move it and make it a torch for our guidance, inshallah, throughout the rest of the year. That should be the spirit of continuing with the virtuous spirit that we have had in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Sayyidi, we often, you know, we as humans, we tend to relapse whenever we are faced with temptations and we are availed with opportunities of sinning, of going to wrong places, doing wrong things. We are tempted, and this temptation is what sometimes get us into trouble, and we tend to relapse. Let's say a person after the month of Ramadan, he again starts doing the same sins that he used to do in the month of Ramadan. It happened once that he did, it happened once. So now, what is the guideline for that person who did it once anyway? Now after that, what is the right thing to do for him to now trace it back and to continue opposing his nafs and shaitan in this way, inshallah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. MashaAllah, Mawlana Sahib, very interesting and relevant question. Because this is what happens, Mawlana Sahib. Iska jawab Ameer Sunnat ne poetry ke form mein bhi diya hai. Main karke toba palat kar gunah karta hoon, haqeeqi toba ka de de sharaf ata ya rab. So Mawlana Sahib, the thing is that we are humans, and we are given that chance once, twice, thrice, and Allah Azza wa Jalla keeps forgiving. A banda has to keep trying, keep thriving to be on this righteous path and never give up. As you mentioned, the willpower has to be strong. And when the willpower is strong, Mawlana Sahib, a person will fall, he makes intention not to do something after committing it once or twice, and then shaitan somehow the other maneuvers that person into that direction once again. Maybe a person was on drugs for several years. Ramadan aided and helped him to come out of drugs. Now after Ramadan is gone, he says to himself, you know what, let me go and try it one more time. Maybe his nafs pushed him to go there. Maybe some company pushed him to go there. His friends and evil company, companionships, whatever it may be, situations around him caused him to go back and do that which he regretted all his life doing. And there are people in this situation, Mawlana Sahib. What we should do in this regard, in this matter as well, recall the punishments of Allah Azza wa Jal for seeking repentance, and after seeking repentance to consistently commit those sins and mistakes over and again. What are the replications of such mistake? What is the punishment and the outcome of Allah's wrath and punishment if I continue? That outcome, Mawlana Sahib, could motivate a person not to commit that sin again. You have to increase your knowledge and be steadfast. I mean, what's steadfastness, Mawlana Sahib? Look at the definition of steadfastness. Ulama and scholars of Islam have explained and mentioned steadfastness means continuation of virtuous actions and refraining from sins is called istiqam. That throughout your life, in this 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, whatever lifespan Allah has spared you and given to you, in that lifespan, your consistency and to continue performing virtuous actions for the pleasure of Allah, and at the same time, parallel to that, consistency and istiqamat on not committing sins,
subhanallah,
is called istiqamat and steadfastness. For example, Hazrat Sayyidina Sufyan bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala an, great sahabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some advice. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aap mujhe kuch is tarah ka nasihat farmayen ki aapke baad mein kisi aur se na poochun. There shall be no need for me to ask any other person after seeking knowledge from you. Give me such nasiha, such advice that should be so fruitful. The Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, La ilaha illallah, say I believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and thereafter remain steadfast upon what you said. That's the best advice I could give you. Now, take this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of iman and faith. That when you say something and to be firm upon that, Allah Azza wa Jalla loves that. Likewise with actions, when you continue doing something and when you remain firm upon that, Allah then starts to accept that amal and action. Now, one other way, Mawlana Sahib, to inculcate this in our lives is to look at the lives of our pious predecessors. Look at the lives of our mashayikh, of our heroes in Islam, of great personalities who ever walked this planet. For example, look at the Sahaba. Look at Hazrat Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. He had steadfastness. He had istiqamat upon reciting the Quran daily. Now this istiqamat is because he loved performing this action. He had a passion for this action. This became part of his life. And he had consistency upon reciting the Quran Pak. Unlike us who will recite the Quran in the first week of Ramadan and then keep it for the entire 11 months, 2 weeks, call it. Or any of us who may perform Salah and the jazbah comes in the first day, Tahajjud Salah ke liye bhi uthe, Fajr Salah ke liye bhi uthe, after Zohr Salah, the battery is flat. Person can't manage, or maybe after 1 day Salah, person doesn't manage the next day. After 1 week Salah, the person's finished. He says, no, I cannot continue doing this. So there's no istiqamat. Istiqamat, Ghose Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he had for 40 years that he performed his Salatul Fajr with his Isha wudu for 40 years. Istiqamat, our pious predecessors had, who would complete 1,000 Nawafil Salah, 500 Nawafil Salah, with names they are mentioned in the history. I mean, look at the lives, look at Hazrat Sayyidina Aswad bin Yazid, rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, who would offer 1,000 rak'at of Nafil Salah daily. Allahu Akbar. In the month of Ramadan, if 30 days caused us to become generous, hum pehle nahi dete the, ab hum dena shuru kar diye. Why only in the month of Ramadan? Why can't we have istiqamat upon this throughout the year? Maybe you can't give as you gave in the month of Ramadan because you want great sawab like that. Sawab is multiplied in the month of Ramadan. But don't stop giving. Always be in the state of giving. Always be in the condition of giving. And that little consistency that you have upon giving is what Allah accepts, Mawlana Sahib. Likewise, the month of Ramadan, you help somebody to open their roza, open their fast. How good it made you feel in their heart. Ah, I was the reason to open someone's fast. After Ramadan, you can still be the person to provide someone's supper, someone's lunch, pay someone's bill. Yani have consistency upon that neki, upon that virtuous action. That's how Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts. Coming back to that question, Mu'asab, that you asked earlier, in this way, a person would be able to give up the evil actions when you identify the evils. I think that we consider everything good what we do in our lives. Nobody accepts he does anything bad. Nobody wants to even believe or even think at the end of the day in that direction. Aaj din bhar mein humne kitni ghaltiyan ki hai. Everyone wants to look at the fayda, ki aaj hamara fayda kya hua. No one likes to look at the nuksan. Nuksan and loss makes you feel down, makes you feel low, makes you feel as if you got no more motivation to perform virtuous deeds maybe. People like to look at faida and success because that motivates a person to do maybe more. But in the rush of doing more, the flops that's happening from behind is also another thing, Mu'asab. I mean, on one side, you're performing virtuous deeds, but on the other hand, you've got such viruses which is eating away your virtuous deeds like how fire eats up wood. The example is given in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the use? We have to know what wrongs we also do in order to stop that. And at the same time, we also need to have istiqamah and steadfastness upon every virtuous action we perform. It cannot be the case that you smile once and for the rest of your life you don't want to smile. If you smile because smiling is sunnah, then have istiqamah upon smiling. If you have istiqamah upon making happiness enter into the hearts of others, then don't do it only on the day of Eid and day of Friday and whenever you can. No, try to have istiqamah every day, every week, every month. Try to stick to that neki that you used to do. Maulana Sahib, in this way here, people will move faster, move towards success in my naqis mashwara.
Inshallah, definitely, Sayyidi. As you have mentioned, that a very interesting fact that you brought up was that we do good, but at the same time, we don't look at the wrong that eats up all those virtues and that makes it all square. So we don't want to even up. We want the virtues to rise every day. They must be like a composite of virtues, you know, net profit. Like in business terms, we want net profit. We don't want gross profit. A wise businessman looks at, okay, how much sales I have made today. Okay, this is how much sales. Not all the sales is the profit. Okay, what it costed me to make that sale, the employees, the overheads, the rental, the wear and tear, the damage to the business, the insurance he pays, etc. There are many things to consider, right? The transportation, fuel, all that is to consider still, taxes. So after having done all of those calculations, then he looks at the sale, the gross profit. And then once after all the expenses, he weighs it against all the sales. Okay, how much is my profit now? From the after it evens up, how much is my net profit? Then only he knows, okay, whether I'm gaining or I'm losing. Whereas us, we don't look at the losses that we are incurring, our overheads, our expenditures that we are having in terms of the vices. And we're only looking at the virtues. Oh, I did so many virtues, mashallah. We feel like, you know, on top of the moon. But then, if we really weigh it up properly, as ihtisab, the Buzurg Anuddin used to do ihtisab before we go to bed, instead of having thoughts of, you know, flowery gardens and stuff, you did ihtisab of your nafs, of yourself, of your actions. Just go over it for maybe a few minutes before you fall asleep. Okay, what I did throughout the day today, I did from the time I woke up, I did this good, I did that good, I did that good. On the evil side, what I did, how was my day better than the last day I've had? So in this manner, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, when we do ihtisab, when we are raising our net profit of virtues, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, then we know we are gaining grounds. Otherwise, we are losing it. As the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, little by little, we should strive and try. He says that, and he taught us that the best deed is that, though it may be little, but with consistency, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So little virtuous deeds, but with consistency, inshallah, will get us where we want to be. Steadfastness, as we are speaking of steadfastness, consistency. So steadfastness can come in various ways. Steadfastness, for example, in faith, in iman, and the blessed companions such as Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu, Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, and many other Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in had to go through terrifying ordeals, but still they remained steadfast in faith. If you looked at the sacrifices of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was made to lay down on the scorching, burning sand of Arabia, Allahu Akbar, and he would still be steadfast on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari, despite all the torment that he had to suffer, he was still steadfast. Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was steadfast, and due to her steadfastness, what she never endured, Allahu Akbar, she was killed mercilessly by the kuffar. Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and those who were sacrificed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their steadfastness is something we can take a lesson, and that is steadfastness in faith and iman. That is the steadfastness we need to have in order to protect our iman. Today, when steadfastness in faith is mentioned, one immediately thinks of those blessed personalities. And a very lovely saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding steadfastness in faith is, the person who has three things will find sweetness of iman. He who has three things will find sweetness of iman. Number one, one who loves Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. Number two, one who has affection for any man only for Allah azza wa jal. And number three, one who dislikes indulging in disbelief after he has embraced Islam as much as he dislikes being thrown into fire. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidi, these are the examples of steadfastness in iman and faith. Now, we would like to find out from Maulana Sahab, what are the other kinds of steadfastness, other forms of steadfastness, inshallah, we can actually take leverage of and get to where we need to be, inshallah.
Yes, Maulana Sahib, as you've mentioned, those aspects in relation to having steadfastness in faith, there's also another kind of steadfastness, and this is in relation with fara'id, steadfastness in the fard acts of Islam. Like, for example, salah, zakah, fasting, hajj. These are, you know, the fara'id, the fard acts of Islam, and it is important for us to be steadfast on it, to be steadfast in performing salah. You know, as we know in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that missing of salah is a very grave sin, and there is very severe and intense punishment for those who miss out on their salah, for those who do not read salah. So we can look at this aspect of performing salah, that salah is such a great ibadah. Salah is such a great worship in which a believer stands to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. A believer stands, he makes sajda and prostrates to Allah Azza wa Jal. He makes dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So salah is a very, very beautiful act of worship, and it is important for a person to be steadfast on it, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Holy Quran, and those who guard their salah. How do they guard their salah? By reading their salah. And in another place, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, those who are always punctual in their salah. So we have those who guard their salah by performing the 5 daily salah. Then we have those who are punctual in their salah, meaning they read their salah at its prescribed time. They do not delay in reading its salah, and also they do not make their salah qada. Rather, they read it at its prescribed time. So this is one aspect of having steadfastness in the fara'id acts of Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidi, together with the fara'id actions that are prescribed upon us as Muslims, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we get accustomed to not fulfilling only one fard ibadah, but many fara'id, subhanAllah, together. And it is such a bouquet of virtuous deeds, if you look at it. And salah is fard throughout the year, no matter which month, which year it may be. 5 times salah, but the fast of Ramadan only become fard in the month of Ramadan.
Subhanallah.
So while we are fasting, this is one fard, subhanallah, and we are performing fard salah, that is the next fard, and we are giving zakats. Many of us give zakat in the month of Ramadan, that is the third fard, subhanallah. And in this way, we are taking care of all these virtuous deeds, the virtuous faraid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated upon us. And in this way, so when we move out of the month of Ramadan, at least stick to that one fard which we always have to do, and that is the duty of performing fard salah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all punctual and steadfast in our salahs, in our fard salahs especially. And if you have gotten accustomed to, let's say, performing your tahajjud salah in the month of Ramadan, other times of the year we may not have the golden opportunity of waking up at the time of sahri every day with punctuality. But in the month of Ramadan, we do get the time, alhamdulillah. Every day we get accustomed to, we get used to waking up at the time of sahri. And sometimes we wake up early, this is the golden opportunity for us to now make the tahajjud salah as well, inshallah, azza wa jal. So yes, steadfastness in iman we get in the month of Ramadan, because iman gets strengthened in the month of Ramadan. So we continue with the same strength throughout the rest of the year, inshallah, azza wa jal. Our habit of performing faraid gets reinforced, and with this reinforcement we continue, inshallah, azza wa jal, even after the month of Ramadan. And when it comes to the nawafil, the mustahabbat acts such as salatul tahajjud, we continue with it, inshallah, azza wa jal, from the month of Ramadan, and we take it forward throughout the year, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sayyidi, so Ma'asab, as he mentions, that they are fara'id that we perform. The sunnahs also we get accustomed to, mashallah, in the month of Ramadan, such as the sunnah of using miswak. I personally get more accustomed to using miswak in Ramadan than out of Ramadan. So alhamdulillah, in this way we can really continue adopting more and more sunnahs, more and more nawafil and mustahabbat from the month of Ramadan and going forward, inshallah, azza wa jal.
It is like that, Purana Sahib. We can make that niyat, that intention to perform more and more. But what comes as a hindrance into that intention on the path of that niyat that you want to make is the dunya, it's the world. Another way to have istiqamat and steadfastness upon virtuous actions is to have less inclination towards worldly khayshat. Always to consider that why dunya, 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 world, 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 for everything. I left my salah because of dunya. I could not fast because of dunya. I did not treat my parents well because of dunya. I did not treat my wife and children well because of dunya. I did not do this Islamic activity because of dunya. I did not pay my zakat. It's because of dunya. Dunya is the biggest cause for us not to perform anything for the akhirat. There are two worlds that we are banking for right now. We are banking for two dunyas. We are banking in this world to live a good life here, and we are banking for the hereafter to have a successful life in the hereafter. But the balance is all corrupted, Maulana Sahib, at the moment. Both is not parallel to one another. If you notice, people are more forward in the dunya and backwards in deen. Very few people are parallel to each another, and very few people are very successful way in the deen. They are forward in dunya, they are backwards. Illa mashallah. So a person should often speak to himself and ask himself these questions. What would I have? Or why should I, you know, occupy my heart with the love of this world? Think of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in narrations, in Ibn Majah, this hadith is, whoever is always occupied in the worries of this world and not about the hereafter, yani not about dini matters, Allah Azza wa Jalla will fill all his tasks with dunyavi worries and matters. Because why? Always his heart is occupied with the worries of the dunya. Mere bacche ki school mein jayenge, rent ka paisa kahan se aayega, khane ka paisa kahan se aayega, iska bhara, uska bhara, iska cheez, uski gaadi, iska makan, uske kapde, ye sab cheeze dunya ki cheeze muhasab. The one whose heart is always occupied with worldly worries and everything and does not care about the deen. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will fill all his tasks with worries. His helplessness, Mawlana Sahib, will always be in front of him. There are sochi, his helplessness will always be in front of him, and he will only get that portion of the dunya which is distant for him. Whereas on the opposite side, if the person gives preference to akhirah, he gives priority to akhirah, he gives more time to akhirah, because he knows this world is temporary. That world is everlasting. I'm only going to be here for a few years. Let me enjoy, use it and throw it away. And let me stash, let me hoard, let me make more and more virtuous deeds, yani perform virtuous deeds for that dunya where there is no ending, it's everlasting. Then for such a person, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla causes the success and the valuables of the dunya to come in front of him. SubhanAllah. The one who left the dunya for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is another way of motivating yourself to have istiqamat upon virtuous actions, that after Ramadan, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, once Ramadan is gone, once Eid, yani chandrat usse hum Urdu mein kehte hain, chandrat, and here it's the night of sighting the moon. And it's a custom of the dunya. Ab jahan jaye, ab India chale jaye, ab Pakistan chale jaye, South Africa bhi aa jaye. South Africa mein bhi ab dekhenge. Lekin India Pakistan mein ye zyada hota. What happens? On chand raat, yani 10 din itikaf mein banda baitha. He never sat all his life. He made niyat, this Ramadan I'm going to sit for itikaf, I'm going to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. He wants to have istiqamat. He's making niyat that after 10 days are over, I'm going to go and stick to whatever I have learned in 10 days in the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani he was never the mehman of Allah for so many days. Becoming the guest of Allah Azza wa Jalla for 10 days is a great honor, subhanAllah. And any person leaves after 10 days, aise baat hai to khali to nahi rahega, uske paas kuch na kuch ruhaniyat to rahegi, because 10 days in the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla will fill a person with spirituality. But then you see Maulana Sahib chand raat hi pe, how the family members wait with the garlands outside the masjid to, we can't wait to welcome you. We can't wait to take you back to the dunya where you was trying to escape from. We want to take you back there. Come and see how your family members, how your family relatives are all waiting to give you Mubarak Badi, that for 10 days you was away from the family. But that's actually the welcoming towards gunas again. The heart of the person quickly inclines towards that. This is the right thing. I can't wait to meet with my family. And once you go there, pay hasi, mazak, laughters, guna, sins, ghibat, backbite, from the very same night. Jitna usne 10 din mein kiya hai, mehnat kiya hai, riyazat aur mujahadat kiya hai, sab kaam pe pani phir jata hai ek hi raat mein. Because that's in the excitement of the next day. See, in the excitement of deen, we get more of the dunya. In the excitement of celebrating your deeni festival, which is Eid, Eid al-Fitr, we become so accustomed to this beautiful action, which is a very important thing for us to celebrate. But then we become so engrossed in that we add more of the dunya to that festival. And we become like the Western dunya. So then people lose their haya, their sharam, so on. So how do you have istiqamat? 30 days you were following something and that one day of happiness came and destroyed everything. Should we let it be like that? Or should we say, no, I'm going to enjoy my Eid day as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, to celebrate, be happy, have a smile on your face, but I'm not going to forget that the month of Ramadan has left me. Now I don't have that helper, the month of Ramadan, which aided me to wake up in the morning to read Fajr Salah. I'm not going to have the month of Ramadan, which is going to help me to remain hungry and still have sabr and patience. Other days when I never used to get lunch on time, I used to get so frustrated and banging the table and where is my food? Why is it not served? But Ramadan taught me how to have sabr even at the time of iftar. Can I have istiqamat in that, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla? When the salt was less in the food, my wife could not taste the food to tell me at the time of iftar how the food was, because she was fasting herself. I never used to get angry at iftar because I knew she was fasting. She could not taste the food to cook the food properly. After Ramadan, yes, if the salt is still less in the food, don't get upset. If there's something not right with the food, don't become naraz, don't become angry. Just as you had sabr, perseverance, tolerance in Ramadan, have the same thing out of Ramadan. And that's when you start seeing the blessings of it, Mawlana Sahib.
SubhanAllah.
Such a beautiful advice Mahasab has given, and that leaves no stone unturned, mashallah. And now at this occasion, let's inshallah Azza wa Jalla listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, until we return and come back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa jani rahmat, شمعِ بزمِ ہدایت صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم کا فرمانِ عالی شان ہے کہ جو کوئی شخص مجھ پر ایک بار درودِ پاک پڑھے اللہ عز و جل اس پر اپنی 10 رحمتیں نازل فرماتا ہے اس کے 10 گناہوں کو مٹاتا ہے اور اس کے 10 درجات کو بلند فرماتا ہے آج جو کلام آپ سننے جا رہے ہیں اس میں آپ کو بار بار درودِ پاک پڑھنے کا موقع ملے گا آئیے نعتِ رسولِ مقبول بھی سنیے اور درودِ پاک کے ورد میں شامل ہو جائیے
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sallallahu alayhi wa
وسلم سچی بات سکھاتے یہ ہے سیدھی راہ دکھاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
جلتی جانے بجھاتے یہ ہیں جلتی جانے بجھاتے یہ ہیں روتی آنکھیں ہنساتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
قصرِ دنا تک کس کی رسائی قصرِ دنا تک کس کی رسائی جاتے یہ ہیں آتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو آگ میں باغ کھلاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ ساری کثرت پاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے کون بنائے بناتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن لاکھوں بلائیں
کروڑوں دشمن کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے آ آ کہہ کے بلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے پل پر ہم کو چلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ مژدہ رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
وسلم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز, الحمدللہ, اینڈ لیٹس ریورٹ بیک ٹو اور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن, اینڈ دیٹ از کنٹینیویشن آف ورچوس ڈیڈز. اینڈ اے لارج پارٹ آف استقامہ اینڈ سٹیڈفاسٹنس از آلسو اکاؤنٹبلٹی, سیلف اکاؤنٹبلٹی. And the more often we do it, the better, inshallah, will be the yield of our virtues at the end, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. This is the practical method that is used by our pious predecessors. This is the great advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the pious predecessors also would often advise us, take your accountability before your account is taken. Yes. We need to take our accountability now in this world before our accountability is taken on the day of judgment, when there is nothing we can do about it. So now is the time when we can do something about it and turn the situation around in our favor, as opposed to on the day of judgment, that all the deeds will be cut off after we have passed away from this dunya. All the virtuous deeds are cut off. All our amal are cut off, except for three, that is sadaqa jariya, but besides that, all the other amal are cut off. So we need to take account of our virtues, our deeds, our good and bad deeds now.
Maulana Sahib, on the same note that you have mentioned, I'm just recalling the pious predecessors who would practically do this, right? Because the viewers out there may assume that how do you take yourself accountability, self-introspection, may you call it whatever. But just to let them know that pious predecessors who used to emphasize on this, they had istiqamat and consistency upon self-introspection. Some people who do not like to see any loss in their businesses do stock keeping daily. And if you would miss even a single day, the records for the week or for the day, for the month, could all be upside down. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, every day he would take accountability from himself. These are the pious predecessors who are on different levels of introspection. Another great personality, subhanallah, when he would eat food, subhanallah, he would stand on the tawa, on the hot side of the pan, and he would standing upon that hot pan, and he would say to Allah, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, today I have eaten one or two roti. And he would tell the others in that gathering that each one of you come stand on this hot pot and give your accountability to Allah, how much you have eaten. So when it comes to self-introspection, we all look at it, it's a small thing. But when Madani in Amat, it's called pious deeds, subhanallah. When that first came out, and people, ulamas who, they seen this, what is this that has been introduced by Da'wat Islami? How many salahs have you read today? How many namazes have you missed today? Have you given charity today? Did you smile today? Did you give some poor person some help today? Have you done this? Have you done that? There's 72 questions to ask, subhanallah. When the ulama seen this booklet, pious deeds that each member of Da'wat-e-Islami has to sign or has to fill before going to bed, ulamas made statements to say that this is not just pious deeds. This is a way to make you a wali of Allah. This is the way to make you a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's there to train you, to program you. Because we are insan, anything we get accustomed to, we get programmed to, we get tuned to, it becomes part of our lives. So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, the thing is that we need to make niyat first. Ki hum ye karna chahte, kyunki jab koi banda koi kaam karna chahta hai, to Allah always helps him. Agar banda khud niyat hi nahi karna chahta ki main aisa karna chahta hoon, to wo kabhi nahi ho payega. He can never ever accomplish it. If nobody makes niyat in the month of Shawwal that I want to still complete another Quran in Shawwal, how can he complete it? The niyat had to be there. In Ramadan, I done it. In Shawwal too, I want to do it. I want to keep the 6 fasts of Shawwal. Every year, people who got istiqamat in this, subhanallah, don't miss it. Acha maza bhi aata. Maybe the first time it became difficult. After Ramadan, I can't wait, to be as in my normal state because of my health or whatever case people do say, situations are there. But if a person says, inshallah, azza wa jalla, I want to start the 6 fasts of Shawwal. First year might become difficult for you. The second year, it's going to be a passion. The third year, no, I got 3 years in a row. I don't want to miss even 1 year. Then this becomes a habit of a person. Yani ab wo ek amal se nature ban jata, yani part of your life. And if you make virtuous actions part of your life, پھر مدینہ مدینہ محاصر. How can a person ever be misguided in that way? So the obstacles, Mohasab, on the path of steadfastness is lack of deen, not understanding, having proper knowledge about the deen, not having the company of the scholars and ulamas, slandering ulamas, you know, giving your own opinions before the opinion of scholars in Islam, not reciting the Quran correctly, not having understanding of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are obstacles to have more love of the dunya in your heart, because then you feel I'm the alim, I'm the mufti, I can give fatwas and verdicts, I can say what I want to say. And then when real advice is given to that person, he takes his own advice which is given by shaitan and ignorance. So may Allah protect us and help us from having that situation. Maulana Sahib was saying something very important, and I cut Maulana Sahib to just add these few words that I wanted to add was regarding this, but it became a lengthier situation.
No, alhamdulillah, you truly, actually, you've done true justice to the concept of self-accountability, as alhamdulillah you mentioned, Allah pious Allah. Deeds, and that really consolidates the deal, subhanallah. Allah. That really puts the last nail there, where a person really gets to the nitty-gritty of it, practical steps, you know, in the form of book. Physical booklet you can get, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, from the Madani Markaz, from the centers of Dawat Islami around the world, or you can also now have it on the app of Android and iOS. So, alhamdulillah, with the technology as well, if you want to move with technology, no problem. Dawat Islami is there to help you as well, mashallah. So, we are not the reactive Muslim, we are proactive Muslims, mashallah. And Mir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul'Aliya has thought of it, and he is moving with the need of time, with technology, mashallah, to help you, because wherever you are, we are there for you, inshallah, azza wa jal. And in this way, we can help each other to better ourselves in the deen. Ameen, bijahin nabi lameen. And now, with the nisbat of self-accountability, let's, inshallah, azza wa jal, watch a beautiful Madani clip, and that is about steadfastness in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
توبہ پر استقامت کیسے حاصل ہو؟ اس کے لیے میں عرض کروں گا کہ اس میں دو چیزیں ہیں، دو بھی کہہ سکتے ہیں، تین بھی کہہ سکتے ہیں. پہلی بات یہ ہے کہ توبہ پر استقامت کے لیے برے ماحول کو اچھے ماحول کے ساتھ بدلنا ضروری ہے، نیک ماحول کو اختیار کرنا ضروری ہے. جیسے نبی پاک صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وآلہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا ہے کہ اچھی صحبت کی مثال ایسے ہے جیسے عطار کی دکان، جو عطر بیچنے والا، خوشبو بیچنے والا، اس کی دکان، کہ وہاں بندہ جا کے خوشبو خریدے نہ خریدے، خوشبو تو آ ہی جائے گی. اور بری صحبت کی مثال ایسے ہے کہ جیسے کسی جو ہے وہ بھٹی والا، لوہار، کہ آنکھ اڑ کے لگے نہ لگے، چنگاریاں تو پڑ ہی جائیں گی. تو پہلی بات یہ ہے کہ اچھی صحبت اختیار کریں. قرآن مجید میں اللہ تعالیٰ ارشاد فرماتا ہے، یا ایھا الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ وکونوا مع الصادقین، اے ایمان والو، اللہ سے ڈرو اور سچوں کے ساتھ ہو جاؤ. تو اچھی صحبت اختیار کریں، یہ توبہ پر استقامت کے لیے پہلی مفید ترین چیز. دوسری مفید ترین چیز یہ ہے کہ جن لذت بھرے گناہوں میں مبتلا ہے، جن لذت بھرے گناہوں میں مبتلا ہے، ان کی متبادل حلال لذتیں تلاش کر لے. جیسے معاذ اللہ کوئی بد نگاہی کے گناہ میں مبتلا ہے، تو اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کے لیے اس کی زوجہ، اس کی بیوی حلال بھی کی. اب اگر اس کو بدل دے گا، ادھر گناہ سے بچ جائے گا، لذت اس کی پوری. ایک آدمی شراب پیتا ہے، کیوں؟ لذت کے لیے، سرور کے لیے، لیکن شراب حرام، اور اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کی جگہ کتنے مشروبات حلال قرار دیے، ہزاروں، لاکھوں. دنیا میں ایک سے بڑھ کر ایک مشروب ہے جس کی لذت، جس کا سرور، جس سے تسکین اور جس سے فرحت، جس سے تازگی، جس سے فریشنس سب ملتی. تو اب کیا ہے کہ اب وہ بد ذوقی کو خوش ذوقی میں تبدیل کرنا ہے، اس غلاظت کو طہارت میں بدلنا ہے، اس گندگی کو ستھرائی میں تبدیل کرنا ہے. تو لہٰذا گناہوں سے بچنے اور توبہ پر استقامت کا طریقہ یہ ہے کہ جن گناہوں میں پڑا ہوا تھا ان کو وہ حلال لذتوں میں بدل دے۔ ایک آدمی کو گانوں کا شوق ہے، گانا گانے کا یا گانا سننے کا، تو اب اس میں کیا ہوتا ہے، اصل تو اس کے اندر وہ لے ہے، وہ ترنم ہے، وہ سر ہے، وہ آواز ہے، وہ نعتوں کے اندر بھی مل جائے گی، وہ حمد کے اندر بھی مل جائے گی، وہ منقبت میں بھی مل جائے گی۔ کتنے گلوکار ایسے ہیں جنہوں نے توبہ کی اور اس کے بعد نعتیں پڑھنا شروع کر دی، حمد پڑھنا شروع کر دی، منقبتیں پڑھنا شروع کر دی۔ یا کتنے ایسے گناہگار ہیں جو پہلے گانے سنتے تھے، گانے چھوڑ کے اس کے بعد اب حمد سننا، نعت سننا، منقبت سننا زندگی میں یہ شامل ہو گیا، یا قرآن کی تلاوت کرنا سننا یہ زندگی میں شامل ہو گیا۔ اب کیا ہے کہ یہ جو ان بٹوین ڈیوریشن ہوتا ہے، جو درمیان کا زمانہ آتا ہے، یہ تھوڑا سا ٹف ہوتا ہے، کیونکہ ایک لذت کو یک قدم دوسری سے بدلنا یہ مشکل ہے، لیکن تھوڑا عرصہ لگتا ہے، تھوڑی سی مشقت کی ضرورت ہوتی ہے، وہ آدمی کا ٹیسٹ بدل ہی جاتا ہے۔ ایک آدمی کو یہاں سے اٹھا کے چائنا بھیج دیں، آواز آ کے بولے جی پاکستانی کھانے چاہیے، پاکستانی تو نہیں ملیں گے، اب وہ کیا کرے گا، وہ بولے گا یہ تو مجھ سے نہیں کھایا جا رہا ہے بھائی، یہ نہ نمک ہے، نہ مرچ ہے، نہ اس کے اندر گھی ہے، نہ یہ اس میں روٹی ہے، مجھے گندم کی روٹی چاہیے، مجھے کڑھائی فرائی چاہیے، وہ تو نہیں ملے گا۔ لیکن ہوگا کیا، تھوڑے عرصے بعد آہستہ آہستہ ٹیسٹ بدلتے بدلتے وہی کھانا اس کو لذیذ لگنا شروع ہو جاتا ہے۔ تو یہ بڑی سمپل سی چیز، تو لہٰذا جو گناہوں کی لذت ہے اسے جائز لذتوں میں بدل دے تو توبہ پر استقامت مل جاتی ہے۔ تیسری چیز یہ ہے کہ تھوڑا سا اپنے اوپر پریشر ڈالے، سٹریس ڈالے اپنے اوپر، کیونکہ گناہ یوں آسانی سے نہیں چھوٹتے، مجاہدہ کچھ نہ کچھ کرنا پڑتا ہے۔ تو انسان گناہ والی جو اس کے اندر ایک جو ہے خواہش پیدا ہوتی ہے، اسے ریزسٹ کرے، اس سے مزاحمت کرے اس کے مقابلے میں۔ جب مزاحمت کرے گا، ریزسٹ کرے گا، تو آہستہ آہستہ اس کے اندر ایک قوت مقابلہ جو ہے وہ پیدا ہو جائے گی، اور یہ گناہ چھوڑنا، گناہ سے بچنا یہ اس کے لیے آسان ہو جائے گا۔ تو یہ تین طریقے ہیں، نیکی والا ماحول اختیار کر لے، گناہ والی لذت کو جائز والی لذت سے بدل دے، اور تھوڑا سا مجاہدہ اور ریزسٹنس اور مزاحمت جو ہے اسے اختیار کرے۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ الحمدللہ، ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز۔ الحمدللہ، ایز وی ور جسٹ ڈسکسنگ دی بیوٹیفل کانسیپٹ آف سیلف اکاؤنٹیبلٹی، مولانا صاحب، دیر از اے کنٹری ویئر اٹ از اے کانسیپٹ، اٹ از اے نارم ایکچولی۔ ان دیٹ کنٹری اف لیٹس سے سمبڈی گیٹس اے ہوم ورک، دا چائلڈ گیٹس دا ہوم ورک، رائٹ، اینڈ یو او سمبڈی گیٹس این اسائنمنٹ ایز اے اسٹوڈنٹ، یو نیور کمپلیٹ دا اسائنمنٹ، ون پیج ہوم اسائنمنٹ، and the next day you yourself will hold yourself accountable. They are accustomed to this. This is a norm. You will do 2 pages of assignment the next day, and to punish yourself, to take account of yourself. If, let's say, for example, the doctor told you not to, you know, or doctor told you to eat this food every day, you know, in certain dose. So if you missed one day, you will take your accountability the next day, why you did this. So the entire nation is accustomed to that, mashallah. And yes, whereas we as Muslims, we need to be more self-accountable than any other nation, subhanallah. And this is the wealth that we have lost as Muslims, as the Ummah of the Beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mashallah, what are some of the remedies that we can exercise in order to get back on the track?
Everyone, Mona Sahib, is looking for ways to be better than others. You know, no one is really perfect, but everyone is looking to always be better than another person. And one of the most beautiful and effective ways of doing that is to take self-accountability of oneself. Because by doing that, you start looking within yourself, you start to look at yourself, you start seeing your own faults. And when you see your own faults, where you fall short, your shortcomings, where you need to pick up, where you need to improve, all of these aspects will help you grow, will help you progress, and will help you become a better person. Imagine if someone does not take self-accountability of himself. It can be his actions, his lifestyle, his deeds, his good deeds, the sins that he has done during the day, during the night. It can be anything. But as long as the person takes self-accountability of himself and not going around looking at others, oh, this person is like that, that person is like this, etc., etc., and then we end up looking, you know, for faults in others, seeing the small aspects of stuff in other people, faults in other people. So if we take self-accountability of ourselves, we avoid looking for faults in other people. As is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the one who conceals the faults of his Muslim brother in this world, Allah Azza wa Jal will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. So we should, everyone actually should make an intention to take self-accountability. If they want to better themselves, they want to improve themselves, take self-accountability, and you would, that person would see the effects of this, inshallah Azza wa Jal.
Inshallah Azza wa Jal, subhanAllah. Beautiful point discussed, Sayyidi. There is another beautiful way of assisting ourselves. You know, we all are in need of help, and seeking help, it doesn't show weakness. Whereas if reality is told, we are created weak. Allah Azza wa Jal says that we as humans are created weak, and we can't still win against shaitan, then we finally take Allah's help because we are weak. We submit in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you are qawi, we are da'if, and we are fighting this enemy. Please grant us strength, become our strength, ya Allah. And in this way, we win this battle, inshallah. And there are, alhamdulillah, many that have existed, pious predecessors. They, alhamdulillah, gained steadfastness and consistency, and they gained an huruj in the deen, alhamdulillah, by joining the righteous company also. This is also a very important factor to consider, that to refrain from bad company and to join the good company. Whereas that can really change you, as Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh beautifully says, Suhbati salih tura salih kunat. May the company of the pious make you pious, inshallah azza wa jal. And now we turn to our guest for today, mashallah, for a final word of advice, inshallah. And Sayyidi, as we are reaching towards the conclusion, inshallah, any last parting words from you to our viewers?
MashaAllah, Mawlana Sahib, Mubarak, and congratulations to all the viewers out there who are now going to be on a very special spree and mission, and that is to have istiqamah, inshallah. One advice that the ulamas and the scholars have given is that if anybody wants to have istiqamah upon any virtuous action and deed, you want to keep up to that, you want consistency on that, do not haste towards it in the very beginning. Mithal ke taur pe, if a person wants to recite the Quran, he made niyat na, I love the Quran so much, in the month of Ramadan I recited so many times the Quran Pak, I want to keep up to this. He made niyat, mashallah, mubarak to you, my brother. May Allah Kareem grant him mubarak and blessings for making that niyat. But that person will fall. That person will fall because his jazbas are too high. He never used to do it in the very beginning. And now when he's doing it, he wants to do it at one shot, gradually. What a person should do is start off with one ruku, and then gradually add another half page, another half a ruku, then make another one complete ruku, so two rukus a day. Gradually, when you got istiqamat upon one ruku for a long while to come, then you can add another ruku to that one ruku. But don't start with one para every day, because after 2 days, kaput ho jayega. After 2 days, everything will collapse. You would not have istiqamat. And a lot of people out there, when they see the hardship in something, because before that there was ease, there was no commitment. And now I'm adding a commitment to my life, so that commitment must be easy. And if it's not easy, it causes difficulty for me, then my heart would not stick to it. A lot of people want to read books, read, but somebody wants to read 200 pages over one night, example 300 pages, the next day he's going to be flat out, he cannot read anything. So, but if you say, I want to read, and you read half a page a day, one page a day, one quarter a day, whether it's Quran Sharif, whether it's Islamic history, Sirat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have istiqamat of it in that way, inshallah, azza wa jalla. In this way, a person wouldn't lose his courage very quickly, but rather he will have steadfastness upon that virtuous action. May Allah Kareem forgive us all, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla fulfill all our lawful wishes and the du'as and supplications of all the viewers out there who have been watching and listening to Madani channel.
Ameen, bijahin nabiyil min subhanallah, jazakallah Sayyidi for your valuable and lovely advice. Sayyidi, inshallah, before we close in and move towards our segment, inshallah, any last words from you?
MashaAllah, as Maulana Sahib has said so many things very beautifully, and to top it off, you know, we should not do actions in haste, in rush, because at the end, we will end up falling down. We will end up falling down. As a very famous saying is, slowly but surely, inshallah. So if a person does every deed with consistency, slowly, one step at a time, then surely and indeed he will reach his goal and he will reach his target, inshallah, azza wa jal.
Subhanallah, jazakallah Sayyidi. And now we move towards our segment. But before that, we take a short break and listen to a beautiful clip and nasiha, inshallah. After that, we'll be back and reveal the answer to today's question, which we promised you in the beginning. And now is the time, inshallah, azza wa jal, we fulfill the promise. So until we return, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Books of ahadith are full of virtues of Ramadan. There are so many bounties and blessings in this blessed month. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said that if my ummah had known what Ramadan is, they would wish if only Ramadan had remained the whole year. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers of Madani channel, let's listen to a heartwarming saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that on the last day of Sha'ban, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O people, a blessed month has approached you. In this month, there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Allah Azza wa Jal has made it farz upon you to fast in this blessed month. To offer Taraweeh Salah in the nights is Sunnah. If you do a good deed in this month, it will be equivalent to carrying out a farz act in any other month. And if you perform a farz act in this month, it will be equivalent to carrying 70 farz acts in any other month. This is the month of patience, whose reward is heaven. This is the month of sympathy, and the believer's sustenance is increased in this month. In this month, the one who serves a fasting person with something to do iftar will be forgiven for his sins, and his neck will be freed from the fire of hell. And he will be rewarded the same as the one who fasted without any reduction in the reward of the fasting person. The companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, asked humbly, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, not all of us possess enough money to present a meal to a fasting person for iftar. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, Allah Azza wa Jal will give reward to the one who offers a sip of milk, a date or a sip of water to the fasting person, and the one who serves the fasting person with a meal with which his stomach is full will be given water from my pond, which is coarser, such that he will never feel thirsty and will enter heaven. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam further says, the first 10 days of this month are mercy, the middle 10 days are forgiveness, and the last 10 days are freedom from the fire of hell.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, the question we asked you in the beginning was, how many surahs in the Holy Quran begin with the word qul? And you had four options to choose from. Option A, 3 surahs. Option B, 4 surahs. Option C, 5 surahs. And option D, 6 surahs. So how many surahs really begin in the Holy Quran out of 114 surahs? How many of them begin with the word qul? So let's see what options you have chosen. You can go through your options now. Maybe perhaps most of you must have chosen four, as it is famously said, recite four quls. Often it is said. So you might have gotten the idea that there are four quls only. But no, there are in total five quls. And the correct answer is on your screen. It is option C, five quls. Subhanallah, five surahs that start with the word qul in the Holy Quran. And another surah, subhanallah, the fifth surah is besides the four quls, meaning Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Kafirun, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah Al-Nas. Besides these four surahs, the fifth one is Surah Al-Jinn, subhanallah, in the Holy Quran. And now you have gotten the correct answer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your Islamic knowledge and keep you steadfast in gaining the Islamic knowledge, inshallah, azza wa jal, through channels like these, such as Madani channel. Visit the website of Dawat Islami, download the books, watch Madani Muzakara and learn from there. Subhanallah, all these doors and avenues are open for you, inshallah, azza wa jal. Until next time, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me paradise.